Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 12 of Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. Today's episode, casting is relative. Now, what do we mean by that? Casting is relative. Actually, we were going to talk about friends and relatives, casting your friends and dealing with them as professionals. Is it difficult? Because in community theater, we are all friends, but sometimes you don't cast somebody who, you know, kind of expects you to because you know them and et cetera, and yet they're not right for the part. What happens when that happens? What do you do about that? People get angry or hurt feelings. People do get hurt feelings sometimes.
Well, and casting relatives as well. I mean, a lot of times in community theater, we work with full families, you know, and are you harder on your daughter because your daughter auditioned for your show?
Ooh, you know, brings back a memory for me, actually. So you know about that. I did cast my daughter in a show. And I cast my daughter in a show after sitting down with two or three other people and saying, look, I think you were one of them too, and saying, look, I think she's the right person for this role, but I want you to tell me that she is too, you know, or not. You know, I wanted to make sure that I was doing it. I didn't mm-hmm. want to do it unfairly. So, I mean, that's the way I handled it, I think a couple other folks have done that as well, where mm-hmm. they've just, okay, look, you know, I don't want to look like I am biased, even though I probably am, and have some other input on that kind of thing. And right. that can kind of help. At least takes the edge off of it. At least you know that you weren't the only one who saw the same thing, you know? So that can be kind of helpful.
Right. No, it is. But yeah, casting friends, it can be, or not casting friends.
Which is harder to cast. Well, it's hard to cast a friend that isn't right for a part, and then you have to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And it may be easier to not cast them, even if it hurts their feelings.
Well, it shouldn't hurt their... It will hurt their feelings, but if they have any intelligence at all and they've seen who you cast, they probably should accept the fact that that's a better choice.
Yeah, in most cases, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. We were talking about a specific situation, though, too, where we don't cast someone, not necessarily because acting-wise or singing-wise or performance-wise they couldn't handle it, but because we might feel that person really needs a little bit of a break or has been troublesome in other ways with casting. And how do you deal with that?
Or that we've seen on stage quite a bit in the past, you know, in the past year.
Oh, yeah,
like it could be something as simple as that. Maybe somebody else who could play the role as well. And do you, you know, where do you make that choice?
Yeah, do you want to have your audiences see the same faces on stage constantly? And sometimes that's as simple as that. And sometimes someone who doesn't get cast doesn't understand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true. But I think this business of, oh, well, we've seen them and seen them and seen them. Well, you know, if they're good, so what? I'm sorry, I don't go with that at all. Yep. I think if somebody is right for a part, mm-hmm. whether they've been doing it for every show of the season, they should do it. I mean, you're looking at the effect on the total production.
That's right.
You know, and if you cast somebody else who is not as good, I don't know what you're accomplishing.
Well, that's okay. Assuming, yeah, I guess the assumption is you've got someone who is as good and you make your choice that way.
Okay.
That's a possibility. Mm-hmm. But I guess the other question is what, you know, have we ever gotten complaints from people who say, gee, we see the same faces on stage all the time? I mean, in the past, has it ever gotten to that point with our theater?
No, I haven't heard that recently. I mean, some people actually become like almost local celebrities in a way.
You know,
that people are excited when they see that person's going to be in a show. So it might even help ticket sales a little bit when they know that a person is going to be in a production. So, when you really start and think what happens when you get to that situation and you've got two people that you can choose from and they're both good, you know, do you
and
go
one's your friend and one is somebody that just walked in,
right?
I don't know. But it's like what we talked about before of will you take somebody that just walked in that you don't know what they can do or how they can do it. if that's the case, then I think you really have to kind of go with the known quotient, which would be your friend, you know, and not have people say, well, she just got cast or he just got cast because they're your friend. You just can't do that. And you hope that your friends know that if you're casting, that you can't be partial to them because you have a relationship outside of the theater.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the other thing, too, is that you have to be very careful to explain to people who have maybe put in a good audition but are very new to the theater or whatever that, look, you know, here's why. And here's, you know, and I really hope to see you, you know, audition again. And, you know, will you take this part instead? You know, I mean, that, and just try to, you know, make sure that, you know, that they don't feel like they're unwelcome. Mm-hmm. Just because there may be, you know, but of course, you know, if you're just going to run a clicky theater anyway, I guess that none of this matters.
That's a whole nother
topic. I think some theaters, you know, some community theaters go through periods like that where it's essentially a little clique that they do what they want to do and that's it. And then, of course, I think that a lot of actors, people who want to audition, eventually figure that out and they just sort of stop coming out.
Yeah, I think another problem is if you're coming up to do a show and you have people that you know might be good for specific roles. Mm-hmm. If you invite them to audition, do they feel like, because you're inviting them to come and say, gee, I'd like to have you come out and audition for this, do they think that means because they're your friend, they're going to get the part if somebody, you know, other does it better? That to me is that's a trap too.
It can be a trap. I mean, the thing is that as a director, sometimes you do that because you say,
sure you do.
You just want to cover your bets. You want to say, look, I want to know that at least I've got one person that I think might be a viable, and they might be the only one auditioning and just really suck too. I mean, it's possible. It's possible.
We hope not.
Well, we hope not. But I mean, you know, it might be that you think that you're, you know, someone that you know and have seen before and maybe you're friends with is going to be, you know, perfect. And they get up there and they just don't get it.
Right.
I mean, I've seen that. And so that's why it's called an audition. It's not called being cast. That's if it was automatic, it would be called, would you like to come out and be cast in my show?
Yeah, well, I think that brings up another question. If you are coming up to a show and you do have friends or know people that you would like to have audition, do you call them or contact them ahead of the audition and say, I'd really like to have you come out and audition for this part? Or do you wait till auditions are over and you have nobody for that part and then you call them and then they think, well, I wasn't going to, but I guess I will because you're my friend, but this means you owe me.
Been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but
yeah,
I don't get into a you owe me situation with anybody that can't handle the part. Never have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will tell you that I schedule my auditions, or I like to, and I don't know if this has become standard or not.
Yeah,
there's a day or so between two auditions. I usually have two audition times.
Yeah, well, that's...
And so, what I do is if I have a feeling about the audition, I will suggest to maybe someone that I know that might be right to come out to audition. But generally, I don't do much of that until after the first day of auditions. Mm-hmm. If the first day of auditions looks like it's just not yielding anything, or very low turnout, or just people who just cannot be cast, then I will use that little day and a half or day or two of time to call people and say, look, you know, I think there's something here that you might be interested in. Would you please come out and audition? Mm-hmm. I'll do that. I don't really like to try to load it up for that first session necessarily. I like to see what will come out.
Yeah, but don't you think if you do that between the first and the second, the person who obviously did not come to the first audition gets the feeling of, well, there may not be too many for this role, so if I go out, I'm going to get it.
Well, that's a risk that you take.
That's a risk that you take. Yeah. But the thing is that I'd rather, I don't know. I sometimes I call someone who I was thinking the thought was coming out and didn't come out on that first night. I'll call them and they say, yeah, I just couldn't make it that night. I'll be there Tuesday or whatever it is. So that's happened quite often too. It's just they forgot or couldn't do it that first night. Yeah. So,
I'm so hesitant, though, when I talk to my friends about coming out for auditions anymore because I've lost a couple of friendships that have had to be rebuilt because I've done that and then not cast the person. And
then they say, why'd you ask me to come out if you didn't want me to do the part?
Right. Wow. And it's so I'm very careful whenever I talk to somebody about coming to an audition to make sure that they understand that I'm inviting them to the audition. That doesn't necessarily mean that they've received the role. Because they just, you never know who's going to show up for an audition.
Yeah.
And whether or not it's somebody brand new or somebody that I've seen work at another theater that I know could do a role, and all of a sudden they show up for my show and for an audition, and it's like, I never even thought about that person because they'd never worked with us before, but I know their work and they're good. And all of a sudden you're kind of thrown into this thing, and that it's a real predicament. And what do you do? And so that's why I'm just very hesitant on even calling people and asking them to come to auditions unless we've just had a terrible turnout on our first night.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the only time I will do that. So,
also under this heading of casting is relative. We were talking about casting shows so that you end up casting so that casting to the relatives of the of the person being cast. This happens a lot with kids theater, children's youth theater, whatever. The idea that you'll develop a show and if I cast a certain number of kids, then plays to a lot of family coming out. And I mean, essentially you're casting so you sell tickets. I mean, I guess we always cast so we sell tickets, right? I suppose, but kind of focusing on that particular demographic, is a little, is that contrived or is that is it just a marketing strategy?
I think it's a little bit of both, but I guess we do it anytime we do a larger musical. If I'm doing a 30-person cast musical, I can't expect to really be casting to the relative. But when I do a summer musical and I put 50 to 70 people in that musical, one of the reasons why I'm doing it is not just to give a lot of people more experience, which we do. I mean, right. It gives a lot of people a chance to do something that they wouldn't normally get a chance to do. But I'm definitely casting so that I can get more bodies in the seats sometimes.
Yeah.
So so that more people can experience the event.
And there's a little difference between that and casting for the donors, right?
Yeah.
Oh. You don't want to.
Yeah.
That's a tricky area, I guess.
I'll give you $25,000 if you cast my child.
That's right. Yeah.
If anybody says that, say okay, fine. What part do you want them to play?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's that sort of support is difficult to turn down for some community theaters. Mm-hmm. That's all we have time for today on this episode of Theater Geeks. Did you have something else? Marsha was looking at me quizzically there, wondering if we had more to say.
We've been talking for hours here.
She's thinking about her T-shirt and her hat.
She's thinking about her T-shirt and hat. That's right.
T-shirt and hat.
And we have to go ahead and plug the T-shirts. We have T-shirts, hats,
coffee mugs. That's what I
want. Other stuff like that with the Theater Geeks logo and website name on them. That's your official Theater Geeks gear. Please go to www.theatergeeks.com and check out our online store. You can also listen to more episodes of Theater Geeks at the website, and if you have some ideas for future episodes of Theater Geeks, feedback or criticism, please keep it constructive and clean. You can write to Dave, John, or Marsha at theatergeeks.com or use our handy online form at theatergeeks.com. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marsha Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hey, don't forget, you can win yourself an official Theater Geeks hat if you come up with the best way to complete this famous phrase, there are no small parts, only small actors, except the one you fill in is the part where it says only small actors. Come up with something more clever. Send it to John, Dave, or Marsha at theatergeeks.com. Come up with something pithy, something profound, something funny, something humorous, something sad, something dramatic. But fill in the blank and win yourself a hat. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by musicalley.com.